the Lord and the land of the living. I appreciate the good song. I'd rather have Jesus. It reminded me of Brother Rolo's song that he sang so often. So precious is Jesus, my Savior and friend. To him all the day long with rapture I sing. To him in my weakness for strength I can cling. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. For he is so precious to me. 'Tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For he is so precious to me. Amen. He stood at my heart's door mid sunshine and rain, and he patiently waited an entrance to gain. What shame that so long he entreated in vain. For he is so precious to me. And then he said, I praise him because he's appointed a place where someday through grace in his marvelous, someday through faith in his marvelous grace, I know I shall see him, shall look on his face. For he is so precious to me. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. Praise God. I've been trying to preach. This is my 57th year. And I the further I go, the more I realize so much I do not know. But I'm grateful for what the Lord has allowed me to learn through the scriptures. And I want to be sensitive to the Lord. You see, I believe that when the Spirit of God begins to move, these three things will always take place. In Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, he brings light out of darkness. He brings life out of deadness. And he brings a law to settle all the disorder. That's when the Spirit of God begins to move. I believe this. I believe that we ought to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God, and we ought to be more responsive to the Spirit of God. So we got a generation of church folks that hear the message, but they do not respond. Amen. My wife and I got married in 1961, and so we've been married 61 years, and I'm grateful for a good wife. But after we were married, we were praying that God would give us a child. And so the doctor said, it's not very likely you'll ever have children. And so we'd been married 7 years and 9 months to the day, and God gave us our only child. And she's been such a blessing and encouragement and help to us, but she's in a crisis and has a great need, and doctors can't find the need right now. She's been to several doctors and haven't found the need. But one of the things she's dealing with is a matter of fear. And I'm going to say to you, I'm glad for the good quality of fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Several things, wonderful, positive things. But I'll tell you what, destructive fear will cripple you. And so I want you to turn with me tonight, if you would please, to the book of Genesis. And I'm looking at just one verse of scripture tonight. And I'm praying that God would help me be a help to you. I'm not interested in trying to impress anybody. I heard Brother Melvin Aiken say this in a meeting we were together in North Carolina. He said, we've got a generation of preachers today that are doing their best to impress God. And he said, how can you impress someone who knows everything about you He knows your down setting, your uprising, your thoughts are far off. You can't impress God, but here's what you can do. You can please God. And so I don't know about you, but I want to please God. In my walk, in my talk, in my action, in my reaction, I want to please God. And in this one verse, just let me read one verse and then I'll share with you what I think the Lord wants me to say tonight. In Genesis 15:1, after these things, and I'll talk about the after these things. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And so I want to preach a little while tonight on God, the shield of his people. Amen. Would you pray with us? Father, you said if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we ask you by faith to fill us, dear Lord. I pray that we might represent you well. I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in thy sight. And Lord, we know that you are our strength and our redeemer. Pray that you take our mind and think your thoughts and take our lips and speak your truth. I pray that you'd bind Satan and all his adversaries. And I pray that you'd have mercy upon us and, Lord, stir our hearts and change us to be more like you. For Jesus' sake we pray, amen and amen. I want to say I appreciate the good message on prayer. Oh, how we need to pray. Jesus spake a parable this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray evening, morning, and noon. We're to be prayer warriors. And we fail in that area. And I appreciate all the messages today from the Word of God. I'm grateful that I didn't have to sit and listen to a lot of storytelling. I better move. God pictures his people, his children, as soldiers. I'm a soldier. He is my master. He is my king. I am his servant. I am his child. By faith in Christ. By the way, that never changes. I am God's child. I got born again June 14th, 1960. And I want to say to you, I'm grateful that when I became a child of God, I didn't have a good family, a good home life, but I'm grateful that I have a heavenly Father that watches over me. I'm his son. He's my father. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I want to be a good soldier, and I want to represent him well. And so I don't want anybody to have the wrong attitude about the matter of where we stand. We are children of God by faith. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is our refuge. Amen. I'm grateful that he is my help, and he is all I need. And so I come back to this. God pictures his people as soldiers, and so the people are under constant attack. A constant attack. The Bible said in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And I say to you, you're no match for the devil. You're no match for the adversaries that we face day by day. It's a constant battle. I'm saying to you, a constant battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it creates, listen, it creates fear in our heart. And so I come back to this. I want to speak a little bit about the word of the Lord, that God is our shield, and fear not, and faith. And so they portray the warfare which characterizes a child of God. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 12, and verse 10 and 11, the Bible said, and the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses us for God day and night. There's no let up. There's a constant accusation that comes from the devil. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I thanks be to God that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, he portrays the warfare which characterizes child God. Outwardly, the sin appears very peaceful. But I want to remind you that the battle chapter number 14 is over. Lot has been rescued. And Abram has returned back home
everything is roses and everything is peachy and everything seemed to be running well. But the outward appearance is deceiving. I say to you, the outward appearance is deceiving. All is not calm. And Abram's under attack from the enemies far more powerful than the kings that is just faced in chapter number 14. And so I say, a home, are you listening? A home may appear strong and may appear peaceful, but on the verge of collapse because of the termites. Amen. And I'm saying to you, we're not near as spiritual as we'd like to make out like we are. Amen. And so we're not as close to God as we like folk to think we are. So there's three opinions. It's what others think of us, what we think of ourselves, and then what God knows about us. And I say to you, I wouldn't want it put on a screen, and I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't want it to be put on the screen about your standing for God. Sure, we're saved by the grace of God. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is our Savior. Heaven is our home, but we have conflicts in our lives, and we don't like to acknowledge, but I'm saying to you, that comes. And so I say, here is a challenge of fear. God sees within us all. God, who cannot be fooled, came to his troubled child and said, fear not, but we fear. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Abram was attacked by fear. And so what is fear? Fear here is the destructive kind. It's the same as worry. And worry is fear that is not said as prayers. And fear is what we call anxiety. And anxiety is fear looking for a cause. And I say fear is the same as stress. Y'all in the building tonight? And so it gnaws away that chronic apprehension and tightness about life, and we deal with fear. In everyday language, Abram was worried and Abram was afraid. We've got people that sit in our pews that are fearful about tomorrow. They're fearful of failure. And by the way, I think we ought to aspire to be successful for God. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying to you, there's folks that has blown their life trying to impress some other man or some other setting. No, we're not trying to impress man or another setting. I say to you, we're to please our God. And so, in everyday language, Abram's word, he's afraid. He just whipped the most powerful army in the east, and now he could see them licking their wounds, feeding their hatred, regrouping their forces, and coming back to get Abram. He's gripped with fear. Then, too, he was worried about his relationship with God. Like the cold wind in the wilderness or the desert, the cold wind of doubt, the cold wind of disappointment and loneliness, and it blew across his soul. He'd been in Canaan land for 10 years. And not one of the promises that God has made has been fulfilled at this point. God promised him a son. And and his wife is beyond the childbearing age. And God promised him the land. He doesn't have one square inch. He's been there 10 years. And by the way, can I say to you, God's delays is not God's denials. You understand that God's not running on your time clock or on my time clock. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And it's still working together for his glory and for our good. And so I see it's a matter of recognizing this. He had been Canaan 10 years. Promises hadn't come true. Child's not been born. Wife's far beyond the childbearing age. And so he's got to question the faithfulness of God. And he did not have a square inch of the promised land. He's worried about, he's worried about the faithfulness of God. And so he was a man at the breaking point. A man at the breaking point. He was tortured and terrified. And he's being attacked by the accusation of the wicked one. And so here's a devil that comes by and said, where's your God now? What about those promises God made? I want to tell you, God's still on the throne, and God's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. He can speak, and the work could be done. And so again, right now, Abram is in the more danger than any other time that we've seen him in, and whatever you call that emotion. You can call it fear, anxiety, worry, stress, but I say to you, it is a crippler. And also, it is a killer. And it comes back to, as someone said, worry is public enemy number one. And a doctor from Mayo Clinic said more than half of all the hospital beds are filled with victims of worry and victims of stress. And by the way, I've heard preachers laugh about it and make fun about that, but I'm telling you, it is real. And it touches your life, and it touches my family, and it touches your family. And by the way, I say it, it is a bridge that we never cross, and it sends us down to defeat. Churchill said, he said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I'm saying, I'm a child of the King. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so I see the conquest of fear. What does God have to say about fear? He said, fear not. You said, that's not too deep. That's deeper than you think. I say to you, he said, fear not. And he said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Praise God, we're on the winning side. And everything's going to be all right down the road. I'm saying this. He said, fear not. You do not have to be victimized by worry. Fear, anxiety, worry, stress can be conquered. But we must put on the armor of God, that which he provides for us. Ephesians 6:16, we're to take on by faith, we're to take on the armor of God, the shield of faith. We're to take on the shield of faith. And so if we're to stand victorious, we cannot control. Are you listening? We cannot control what happens to us. But I say to you, all the worry in the world will not stop one soldier from coming down the road to do conflict with you. And again, and we don't like to think about it, there's folks who are fearful of death. And by the way, I don't know anybody signing up to die today. But as a child of God, God took the sting of death out. Oh, death. Oh, grave. I'm saying thanks be to God. We have the victory in Christ. Now we have an appointment with death, but we don't know when it's coming past. But as a child of God, our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, one of these days soon, he's coming. And he's coming for every blood-washed child of God. But I say to you, we have the fear of death and the fear of disease. More folks are overcome by the matter of worrying about having cancer than has cancer. Hello. And so that we worry about economic loss. We got what we have in the White House, and we ought to be disturbed about that. But I'm saying, don't worry. We cannot control. We can control the effect of those invaders, but you cannot stop it. We can choose to be victims, or we can choose to be conquerors through the Lord Jesus. Notice with me Psalms 91, please. In the book of Psalms 91, let's consider this passage of scripture. In Psalm 91, and I read, the Bible said in verse number 1, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I'm saying to you this, it is he who dwells in the shelter. It is he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, who has God for a fortress and as a refuge. And so the man who stands his ground against the power of darkness is a man who takes up the armor of God. We cannot stop the attack, but we can put on the whole armor of God. And so we become defeated along the way, and fear grips our heart. You said, I don't have any problem. You probably lie about other things too. Amen. And so we come back to this. It is he who dwells in this shelter and he who abides in the shadow of the Almighty who has God as a fortress and his refuge. And again, it is a man who takes up the armor of God who stands. We can't stop the attack, but we can put on the armor. Amen. Notice with me, the shield, what are we going to talk about? He said, fear not, for I am, there's a lot of I ams in the scripture, amen. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am he. Yeah. Praise God, I'm one of I am's boys, and God is interested in taking care of me, amen. And so I find a shield of the Word of God. Thank God for this old blessed book that has never changed. And by the way, it worked back then. It'll work today. It'll work tomorrow. It's the Word of God that's settled in heaven. It's quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. I say to you, thank God for the Word. Thank God for this old book. And so in Psalm 91, God is our shield, the Bible said. God, he didn't say he will be. He said he is. He presently our shield. And so in Ephesians 6:16, we're to take the shield of faith. Our shield is God himself. Amen. And could I tell you that before the enemy can invade your territory, he has to come through God himself, who is our shield. Amen. I'm saying, listen, God, there's no match for him. You understand the fact that God reveals himself through the Bible, the Word of God. In Psalm 30 and verse number 5, I'm saying he is Proverbs 30 verse 5, he is a shield to those who take refuge in his Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the way to overcome worry is to know God. And the way to know God is to get to know your Bible. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We're not under condemnation. We've been set free by the grace of God. We belong to the Lord. He taught us to respond to Satan's attack upon our life by quoting from the Word of God. He said again and again, it is written, it is written. It is written. I've heard some preachers talk so glibly about dealing with Satan. And they said, and one was in our home church. He was preaching on he said, looks like the devil's come to church tonight. And so I'm going to run him out. And so he left the pulpit and went down the center aisle, made a circle around all the way back to the vestibule and back. All the time he's commanding the devil to leave. And pastor called me on the way home and said, what do you think? I said, I'm a bit suspicious of those who are on speaking terms with the devil anyway. And so you understand that you're no match and I'm no match, but God can handle that. And so he is our shield. He is our exceeding great reward. And so again, he taught us to respond by quoting scripture. There is power in the memorization of the Word of God and quoting Bible verses in the time of distress. Fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God. Not only quote them by heart, but believe them in our hearts. And the first shield against fear is the Word of God. The Word of God. But it is the Word of God that's in our heart. And not just in our head or just in our hand. It's the Word of God in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So he is our shield. He is the shield of the Word of God. Then I see the shield of faith. The God of the Bible must become the God of our experience. And if he can open up Red Sea and the children of Israel go on dry land. Listen, your problem's not too big for God. And my problem's not too big for God if I'm willing to let God handle it. But we worry ourselves sick about things that never happen. Yeah. Amen. And so the God of the Bible must become the God of experience. And so doctrine in the head will never enable you to stand against the storms of life. The intellectual acceptance must be tested in the crucible of life and become trust. And so I find this. Job was a faithful man. And Job was a holy man. And Job was a blameless man. But it was not until he had gone through the fire of trouble that he could say in Job 42 and 5, I have heard thee with the hearing of mine ear. Now mine eye seeth thee. And I believe that's what he's talking about. He said that which I greatly feared has come upon me. That losing the conscious presence of God. It's good to be saved, but it's wonderful to know that you're saved. To know that you're a child of God. And so I come back to this. It is God himself. He becomes our shield against evil. Knowing this, fear gives way to faith. And worry gives way to trust. And he said in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so what are we looking for to come down the road against us? What are we afraid of? What are we worried about? What termites is crawling around in your life to defeat you? I'm saying this. The only way to be free is to see God himself standing in the highway and saying, before you get to my child, this child of mine, you have to get through me, for I am their shield. Amen. It's not because you live in the South. No, no, no. It's not because you've got a big bank account. No, no. It's because he is our shield. He is our shield. And so, again, do you have that kind of faith? It is this faith in God's presence. Notice the verse again. And these things, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Do you have faith in God's presence? It is this, you and I will be able to face unafraid anything that life throws at us when we come to believe as a matter of personal experience the truth of Hebrews 13:5 and Psalm 23:4. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake you. And so the best part of this truth is that God is not only with us, but that he is there in the exact form in which we need him to be in that specific hour or during that certain crisis. And so he's all I need. If I need wisdom, he's my wisdom. If I need guidance, well, he's my guidance. If I need help, he's a very present help. I'm saying if I need strength, he is my strength. And so he is described as a shield, a fortress, a mountain, a mother, a bird, a breeze, a light, a path, a loaf of bread. God has always found to be just what we need. So let me gather together and say it this way. When you're tortured by doubt, he will be your truth. And when you are lonely, he will be your father. And when you are hurt, he will be your great physician. And when you are weak, he will be your strength. And when all hope is gone, he is your hope. And listen, when no one understands, he understands. And when no one cares, he cares. I'm saying, blessed be his name. He's my shield. He's my buckler. He's my fortress. He's my help and my need. You said, I don't need it. You might need it before the morning breaks. I'm saying faith in God's presence. And then faith in God's protection. He said, I am God's, I am your shield. And so do you have faith to see God standing in the road, not only present, but he's impenetrable. He can't be traded. And so do you believe that when you walk with God and you live in his will and abide under his shadow, that absolutely nothing can touch you unless God allows it? Amen. And so behind the shield, we are invincible. But be careful now. 90% of the problems that we deal with is because we get out from behind the shield. And so we take our life in our own hands. We make decisions without consulting God. And when we do, we are open for an invasion from the wicked one. And fear grips our heart. When every day we pray, oh God, take my life, my health, my family, my happiness, my all, then we are abiding in the shelter and we are walking in the Spirit. And we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so in Psalms 91, we remember that we can make that claim. And so we have faith in God's presence and faith in God's protective power, but we're to have faith in God's purposefulness. That is this. God has a purpose for our life. I bless his name. I mean, Bob Jones Sr. said, God is preparing us today for what he has prepared for us tomorrow. It's a matter of recognizing, I rest my case in him. I'm thankful that he knoweth the way. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. And when I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. I'm not going to come forth as a tin can. I'm going to come forth as gold. Amen. And so again, when God told Abram that his reward would be exceeding great, the exceeding greatness of your reward, he was saying that no matter what life dishes out, no matter how many invaders get to you, you will win in the end. Amen. That's him. I don't know about you. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. Don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. Don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today he walks beside me, and he knows what's ahead. I can rest my case in him. God is. He is my refuge. He is my shield. He is my shelter, and he never leaves me. And he's a very present help in my time of need. Amen. So I hope you'll be praying for my daughter. Fear so gripped her heart. And when she hurts, I hurt. She's my one and only. And God knows exactly where she is. Doctors might not know, but our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the God who made us can repair us. And the God who made us can meet every need we have. Fear not, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When I don't understand, he understands. When it seems like no one cares, he cares. Oh, yes, he cares. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thank you.